I've got a couple little points to point out. Knowing and understanding the types and shadows in the Bible are so important because it helps you really understand. It changes the meaning and really makes you know what God is trying to show you. And Joseph is a good example of that because Joseph is a type of Jesus. And just a couple little examples that shows you that is back when Mark read that Joseph's father loved him more than all the others. There's a picture right there of God loving Jesus, as the perfect son, And another one is to prove that Joseph was a type of Jesus is Joseph ended up becoming the second ruler in all the land when he was in Egypt. And that's who Jesus is, he's the second ruler in the land. So Joseph is a type of Jesus, and it said that he was made a coat of many colors. And you know what that coat was? When you hold a gemstone up to the sun and the light shines through it, it displays the glory of that stone. And that's who and what Jesus was. When the light of God shone through him, the glory of God was shown. And another thing that I wanted to point out on that point was just to sort of show that that coat of many colors was Jesus's covering. I mean, in the story, it was an actual coat, but in the spiritual realm, that coat was this aura of glory that surrounded Jesus. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to this because I want to show you something. In Revelation chapter 4, if you can go there. In Revelation 4:3, does everybody here know what italics are? That's a print that's smaller than the normal print. And if you look at Revelation 4:3, it says, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Okay, those two words, "there was," are in italics. Do you know what it means when a word is in italics? It means it wasn't in the original text. It means the translators added that because they thought it clarified the meaning more. And sometimes it does clarify the meaning more, and sometimes it messes up the meaning more. And to me, when I read that there was a rainbow, that made me think of a real rainbow. And if you take those words out of there, which that's what you can do with words in italics, and it just says, "and a sardine stone and a rainbow round about." And we know what they're talking about here. They're describing Jesus. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper. So this coat of many colors that Joseph had, and Joseph's a type of Jesus, it's like that's what that coat was that display of glory. So sometimes just knowing a few things like that can reveal the real meaning to you. And this Bible becomes the most exciting book any person will ever read when you start really seeing and understanding what God is showing us. So anyway, that's just a couple little things that I thought of from today. Amen.
I just wanted to add one more thing that I forgot to say, and that was about Simeon. I have reason to believe, not absolute proof, but reason to believe that Simeon was the real ringleader of this conspiracy to kill Joseph. And I think that Joseph knew that, okay? First of all, what I said about Levi and Simeon, Simeon already had a lot of blood on his hands, human blood, in what they did to Shechem. Okay? You can say, well, maybe the young fella deserved it. He raped his sister and all that. Not a nice thing to do. But he had a lot of blood, so he wasn't afraid of shedding blood. And he fully intended, I think, to kill Joseph. Now, here's the other reason why I believe that. When they first came down into Egypt, the brothers, who is the brother that got locked up and didn't get sent home? It was Simeon. Joseph ordered him locked up, and he kept him there. I don't know how long it was. He was probably there at least a year till they ran out of food. And why would he be locked up? Well, God loved Simeon. Come on, brethren. God loved Simeon. And he wanted to break Simeon of his violence, his hatred. And, you know, sitting in that Egyptian dungeon for a year, well, Joseph knew what that dungeon was like. And, you know, I think that dungeon broke everything there was to break out of Joseph. Joseph wanted to be released before, but the men that he had asked to put in a good word for him, they forgot to do it. When it was God's time, and you know, when was it God's time? It was when Joseph was 30 years old. And 30, Mike was mentioning the types and shadow. 30, the meaning of 30 is maturity. When Joseph was mature, he was able to come out and rule and reign. Brethren, when God has us to full sonship, we will be ready to be trusted to rule and reign in maturity. Yeah, I believe that Simeon, when he finally came out, he looked good, and I believe that Simeon had repented.
That's even one more proof that Joseph is a type of Jesus, because he was 30. And when did Jesus start his ministry? When he was 30.
That's the number. And what was the width dimension of the ark?
30 cubits.
Yep. Okay, brethren, more than Mike has something to share here.
I along the same lines as what Brother Mike was just talking about, I found it interesting, too, that Joseph's coat of many colors was dipped in the blood of the lamb.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Dipped in the blood of the lamb.
That was a good one, Jeremy.
Yes. A lamb died there for Joseph.
One other little thing, I think when demons look at us, they see our, whatever our coat of colors, many colors is, whether it's dim or bright and shining, I think the demons can see that, and they know to stay away from the ones that have some real power of God.
Well, there was something of the hand of God for everybody in all this. If you want to go back to Joseph, there was something for old Jacob too. Something to get Jacob right and get him into sonship. Because it wasn't all finished on the day that he wrestled with the angel.
And just to point
Something
out,
else.
go ahead.
No, go fast, bro, Mike, please.
Okay, I was just going to say that when Mark said Jacob wasn't done yet, when he was done was proved when Rachel died. Because what did Rachel represent? It represented what Joseph loved the most. And when she died, that's when it said, and Israel journeyed. And brethren, none of us are going to journey too great until what we love the most dies. We've all got something we need to be delivered of. And that's when we're going to start doing something for God.
Ouch. Mike, ouch.
You're not a kidding.
Now, Brother Urias has something to share with us.
Yes, I, excuse me, I am thinking of the universal conspiracy against the sun, the sonship. You see that Isaac was the preferred son of Abraham, and Abraham had to send away all the other sons, the sons of Hagar and the sons of Keturah, and he sent them away, the Bible says, towards the east. So they became the sons of the east. And we will see in the book of Judges that they were the ones, all the sons of the east came together every year to raid Israel and to pillage the land of all the substance that they get out of their labor year after year, and they terrorized them. Now, these are the same people who came after Joseph, as it were, because what happened really is that the rest of the sons of Abraham conspired and came against the preferred son, if I will use that word, who is Joseph. And in doing that, they came into a greater conspiracy with the Ishmaelites and the Midianites, who are those who are yet aggrieved with the sonship of Isaac. So what I see there is that there is this, permit me to use the word eternal conspiracy against the son that is going on. So anyone that had this call of sonship from God on him, this conspiracy came against him. Amen. But we see that in it all, God is consistently separating those that are in conspiracy, or what Brother Mike called the wrong son. God is consistently separating the company of the wrong son from the preferred son, so that he, the preferred son, will survive and shine forth. So we see in Matthew chapter 13 that the end of the discussion there is that the Lord will send forth his angels, and they will gather all things that offend and cast them into the furnace of fire. And then shall the children or the sons of God shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their father. So what I see is a word from the Lord to caution us to beware of the wrong sun. So we should not just throw ourselves open, because if we are from the same genealogy. So first of all, in the natural, we should not say, oh, this person is my cousin, is this, and because of that, we throw ourselves open. Also, in the church, it's not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, you know, in the wide range of what is called church. In other words, it's a warning against the ecumenical movement that is saying, everyone come together as many people as worship one God, monotheism, as many people, you know, brethren, I'm drawing attention to what we were looking at the other day when we were looking at the matter of the letter from the rabbis. So we should not fall into this trap, and we should not say, oh, this person even mentions Jesus. Because of that, we open our hearts and we fall into union with everybody, because majority are in the conspiracy against the Son. Amen. And the word of encouragement that follows it is that if we remain faithful and consistent with the Lord will definitely at the end gather all things that we can, so that the sons of God may shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, I like the way you started that off. The universal conspiracy against the Son. And that includes against sonship as well.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. I think you had something to share.
No, I'm all done.
Jeremy, I was reading in Genesis 31 or 37, 31. It was not a lamb, it was a goat that the blood was dipped in. If you want to look that up, that'd be fine. But it wouldn't mean the same thing, I don't believe, is what you were thinking.
You're right, Howard. You're right. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yes, and the kid of a goat is a lamb.
You're muted, Mom.
The kid of a goat is a lamb, isn't it?
The kid of a goat
is a lamb.
Yeah.
So it is even more apt that way.
Yeah, Brother Mark.
No.
The baby of a goat is a kid. The baby of the goat is a kid.
A kid, yeah.
And yes, the baby of the sheep is a lamb.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Yes, but you know, when the Lord asked them to for the Passover, you had the option of using a goat or a sheep. The Passover instruction gave a liberty that you could take a kid or you could take a lamb. So both the sheep and the goat were what were used for the Passover sacrifice.
So either one could, am I muted?
No, we're here.
Either one could be used in the Passover.
Yes.
To put the blood on the doorpost or on the lintel.
Yes.
One other little thing that came to my mind is Jeremy's thought might have still been right, and maybe I'm wrong with this. Somebody can, if they think about it, tell me. But, you know, the goat in Scripture is usually seen as the scapegoat, where it's sent away and it takes the blame for something else. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He took the blame for our sin, even though it wasn't really his sin, and paid the price for us. So it could be that thinking of Jeremy's was still right, even though, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Mike.
Yep, Brother Mark, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. Can I read Genesis 45, verse 7?
Yes, please.
When Joseph had to console or take side with the brethren, he told them, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." I say this to conclude with Romans chapter 8, verse 20, that says that, "For we know that all things work together for good." So Joseph saw himself as a person that God used to preserve Israel from the famine that came later on the land. And if we look at our circumstances in life, we should not blame everything as evil. But we can look inwards and say, thank God for this situation, that God had a purpose in it all. That's when the Bible says, "For we know," that knowledge should be there in us, that all things work together for good to them that love God. So Joseph turned his situation. He saw it to the advantage of his own household, and not imputed it to his brethren as wickedness. But he had the love of God in his heart and shared with them and saved them all. That's what I want to share then.
Yeah, and am I muted?
We hear you.
No, I'm not. Okay, and verse 8 there in chapter 25 too, Joseph said it again. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." So is God saying anything else to us? Amen. Brother Daniel, it's good to have you back. Don't know if you've been in a far country. Oh, Brother Edie, you were going to find out more about the goings on in Congo. You are going to find out for us a little more about this church that got terribly attacked. Who were they?
Yes, I called Brother Baraka is in Kinshasa. I called him last Sunday, and he said that it was not the true story.
It's not a true story?
No.
Okay, that, good.
It's not aware of such, that they were fine. The rebels have taken over, like we have said before, taking over Goma and a second city called Bukavu, but they were in peace.
All right. So they did not behead 70 Christians?
No. That story is not true, at least from hearing from Barak. And then we had spoken to Miril in the morning, and he said that there was nothing like that also from Goma. She's here today. She cannot really confirm. So the case is not a true story from my investigation.
All right. Well, some of the things you see on your news apparently are not true.
Sister Muriel is here and raising her hand.
Yeah, Muriel, go ahead and speak.
No, it's by mistake. Excuse me.
Okay, you didn't intend to speak then.
No.
All right.
It was is what I'm marking.
Yeah, Rita is asking, well, how do these lies get into the news?
Well, this is Brian Mark from Togo. These stories are sometimes, I think there was something like that that happened in the past. So now that is a trending situation in Congo, it happened that some old videos, some old pictures are being sent again, and some old information are being shared again as if it's new, but it's not actual. So yeah, it does happen.
Yeah, it did happen in Uganda some years ago. I saw the actual photographs of it, so I know the photographs were true. But I think that is at peace now.
Yeah, so the recent issue that was in Bukavu was linked to some, it was not a Christian, it was actually the rebels that were having a meeting. I think they were trying to talk to the people in Bukavu, and there were some bomb blasting in those areas. And right now they are confused who did and who did not. But it was not Christian. It was the rebels that organized a sitting or a meeting with the population, and some people died, not Christian.
Well, thank you, Brother Mark. I think we have a good spy network here that we can figure out the truth anywhere in the world now, can't we?
Very good.
You know, I don't know what's going on, but if any of you ever come to the website, you can click that picture that's on the right-hand side, and you can find out who's coming on and visiting the website. And I find that every day somebody from Russia is coming on, and it seems to be always in a different place. And I know that the Prince of Gog of Magog is not a very, he's an evil man, but God has his people. He has his people in Ukraine. We've been there several times. They're godly people, they love the Lord. And I've been in Moscow, and we preached in Moscow. There's people that love the Lord there. You know, they're true to the Lord. And they're not in agreement with their evil prince. But we pray that God will bring this message and this word to these people also. Well, perhaps our cup is full, so we can say goodbye until the next time.
What time?
Is there anyone has, let me turn the recording off.